Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, we're continuing this morning in our Grow series. What good conversations we've been having. Our thought this morning is entitled Growing Up. It's time to grow up. Here we go. When we moved from Montreal to Victoria, we had to find a way to get a house. We moved from Montreal in 2002 to Victoria, purchasing previous to that in a housing market that was in great flux because of a referendum. So houses were cheap. When we moved to Victoria, across country, we noticed quickly that houses were not as cheap. And it took us a year to actually find a place to purchase for ourselves. Our real estate agent said, you know, Dave and Julie, you're really nice people, but you're the hardest customers I've ever had. A double-handed comment. We realized to get into the housing market, we were going to have to buy what we all called a fixer-upper. It was the only way. And when we actually did have the deal go through, that very day we began to call the builders. We called the plumbers, and we called the cabinet makers, and we called the floor guys, and the painters, and the builders, and the insurance, and we called them all. We've got some work to do, people. And the builders came, and the builders did a good work. And by the time we moved in, while the outside of the building looked the same, or the house looked the same, pretty much, except for our landscaping, the inside experienced transformation. And that kind of is what this series is all about, this Grow series. It's about calling the builder. It's about calling the master builder, giving him a platform and giving him time and permission to build, to change, to transform us on the inside, where we would be of a good mind to grow up. What we're noting, at least as I've been taking notes from our teaching team, is that spiritual formation is not about us doing the building or us doing the forming. It's about me doing the surrendering. It's about continually coming to Jesus open-handed and open-hearted and allowing him to build us up. Christian life, spiritual formation, is always about renovation. It's always about cleanup. It's always about construction and sometimes reconstruction. Paul wrote it this way to the Colossians, "Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him." In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric or uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Let's walk our way through this master builder plan. First thing that Paul says to the Colossian church is, spiritual formation happens when we put something on that we didn't have before we put it on. Put it on. It means to be clothed with, as Paul is saying here, a new nature. In the same way that we would put on a new coat for the fall. And it would fit right, and it would feel right. And it would keep at bay the elements. This putting on implies that we do not have this new nature until we receive it from God or until we put it on. Spiritual formation, as Paul is, and we've been learning, see, Paul's sharing, is not about tweaking a few things, learning some coping tricks. When you're angry with your dog, you know, count to 10 in your head before you say something, you know, those little coping, tweaking tricks. We're not talking about tweaking anything. We're talking about transformation. And the word new is important here, putting on your new nature. This is not, again, about you and I becoming a better us. This is about discovering and becoming something that we don't even know what it's going to look like. And that's huge. This word, new nature, ties us to words like young or beginning again, starting over with something new. And this is where the language in the New Testament of born again comes into play. It's scripture alluding to a person that has become a Christian as someone who is born again with a young, new life that has the potential to mature. So in the family of God, it's really not a matter of earthly years that defines maturity. It's actually how we getting along with Jesus' transformation that we seek to celebrate. This new nature comes only from Jesus Christ, and in some way is truly one of the most supernatural benefits of becoming a Christian. Transformation, becoming a child of God through transformation. So why would this be so necessary, so important for Paul to teach the Colossians, and why would it be important, and why would it be in front of us today? Well, let's back up for a bit and walk on a human history lesson for a minute. The Bible says that all mankind has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. And we trace back the realities of that into the book of Genesis. And after Adam and Eve sinned, they began to have sons and daughters in their own likeness. And there's a long lineage of that, to which we are part of that. Unless you and I have a new birth experience, then we will not receive this new nature. Christianity, as we've been hearing, involves the death of that which is of the past, and then receiving a new life, a new nature. While we die to self and selfishness, we receive a new nature with new thoughts and new purpose, new identity. Erwin McManus spoke at the Global Leadership Summit on Friday. Someone who is walking through what seems to be a journey with cancer. A great Christian leader, pastor. And he was reminding us of this. For someone that is a Christian, they are born again, which means that death is no longer in front of a Christian. Death is behind a Christian. Death has already happened for a Christian. Death is behind a Christian. It's not in front. With now what is in front of us? If death is behind us, what is in front of us? What we learn from our chapter and our verses today is what is in front of us is the growth and the rise of the eternal promises of God, Zoe life. This Zoe life that has been imparted to us through conversion, now we walk to discover this new life and allowing the hope of eternity to rise in our hearts. Death is behind you if you're a Christian. It's not in front of you. Once a person trusts Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they receive a new nature. But perhaps you would say, hey, it's not that simple. And how true that is. This old nature does not ever completely go away. The constant struggle with our old sin nature in contrast and conflict with our new nature. Galatians 5 says it this way, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other. so that you sometimes don't do what you want. How many relate? That's right. That's real. That's real life. So we want to say right up front, the struggle between these two natures will continue during the entire life of every believer. Sounds discouraging. Well, what hope do we have? Well, I think in our text this morning, we find some hope. Part of this new nature involves transformative change in heart and mind. And friends, we need to hear these prophetic verses today. Ezekiel 36 says this to you: I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. And I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I say, please, Lord, please have mercy. Have mercy. Please do that work. Romans 12 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Notice these prophetic promises. We don't do the building. We do the surrendering and the receiving. Christianity is best to be understood by us surrendering and receiving. Now let's look at, we've looked at the new, let's look at the renew in our text. Put on your new nature and be renewed. So this is the Christian journey. This is one of our values at Living Waters Church, spiritual formation. This is it right here, this word renew. Renew, 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 renew. Spiritual formation involves putting on a new nature, which is transformative and supernatural, which then as we walk towards our eternal hope and destiny, it involves being renewed, new and renewed. This word renewed means getting back to the plan. It means starting over. It means being caused to grow up towards the intended plan. So when someone comes to Christ, what they're doing is they are coming back to the intended plan that God always had on his mind for that person. It's the intended plan. And we are renewed towards that intended plan. Then he goes on, as you're renewed, this is what happens. You learn to know your Creator. As you learn to know your Creator. The word learn refers to this. Now, this is key. We got to go a little deeper here to get the truth of these. Learning in this verse here means knowledge gained through firsthand relationship. This is the learning. It's experiential learning. It's learning that happens because of contact knowledge. It's knowledge that comes from a firsthand experience. So that's why, if you're newer in this community, we often refer to our relationship with God as a personal relationship, because it is. It's personal. It's not at bay. It's personal. You would notice some of the expressions even when we pray. We talk about a God who draws near. We talk to a God who we believe knows us personally and wants to be known personally. It's personal. And that's what we are learning about as we are on a journey of spiritual formation. We are gaining knowledge through firsthand experience. That's what happens regularly in our life groups. You hear it all the time, sitting in a room, and people begin to share out of their experience, right? And you'll notice how God seems to talk to us all differently, and he seems to work in our lives so very, very uniquely and very differently, and it's the beautiful thing, and that's the way it should be, because it's personal. It's the same Jesus, but doing a work within our lives in different ways because we are different people and respond to the other all in very different ways. I love to worship. I'm the personal. If you follow me around, don't do it. But if you were to follow me around, you're going to hear music. You're going to hear music. It's going to be in my ears. It's going to be around. I have favorite songs, and it's usually loud, and it's going to be okay if you don't like it. But I grow with that. Some of you don't, because we're different, and that's okay. Some of you experience God through Christian service. So some of you are like, can't wait to sign up for Helping Hands, because it's about the life that flows out of helping. And again, it's spiritual formation that we respect that's happening in each other's lives. I want to encourage you to give your best energy and attention to a personal growing relationship with the Lord. I'll say that again. I want to encourage you to give your best energy and priority to your growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if you don't intend to do that, there'll be other plans for you. Let's be clear on this word know. To know your Creator. There's a difference between saying, I met someone, I know who they are, or I actually know them. Spiritual formation involves meeting, knowing who they are, and then actually knowing them personally. Knowing, as Luke said early in our service, about knowing his person, knowing character of God, knowing his mind, knowing his plans. This learning is so necessary because it establishes faith. And faith, of course, is central to spiritual formation. Faith. Not in ourselves. Faith in him, Jesus. Ephesians 2. You've been saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of your work, so that no one may boast. This learning to know him, this insight into God, is a revelation. This is the impartation of knowledge, which is actually a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God. It's a gift. The most basic definition of this word, learning or faith or knowing him, is being divinely persuaded. This learning is about God continually birthing faith in a yielded believer's mind, heart, and soul to a point where we actually experience divine persuasion. Are you divinely persuaded? I ask myself that question. Am I divinely persuaded? So as we talk about spiritual formation, it obviously involves unlearning things. As much as it involves learning things, it involves unlearning things. Unlearning selfish ways, independent thinking, unlearning the posturing that we do, the unlearning the tendencies towards selfish promotion and selfish ambition. So as we learn, we unlearn, right? We learn to know our Creator so that we can become like him. Become like him. This word, become like him, references image. That we begin to bear his image to one who has a close resemblance or a mirror-like representation. Wow, what a calling. What a humble walk we need to have. I came across a funny picture this week of how over time people begin to look like their pets. Look at this. So the, you know, the more you hang out, the more you look like. And then I ran across this funny picture about spouses. The more you hang out with your spouse, the more you become like that. Just over time, right? You become like. Becoming like Jesus is more, though, than a look-alike. It's about bearing an image that reflects its source. So as much as you look like your pet, is this truth over here? Because someone's like, husband and wife are kissing over here. No. That's who you look like. Now I know. This is more than an external lookalike. This is about bearing an image that reflects its source. So as much as you hang out with your pooch, you're never going to ultimately, it's a different source, right? This is about the source, bearing the image of the source. Becoming like Jesus involves, again, returning to living out the intended plan for our lives. And Paul said it this way to the Ephesians, God wants you to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. This growing up means that our lives will grow following a plan with a pre-designed and a predefined specification. And that reference, friends, is Jesus. It's not a good and godly grandmother. As good an example as that is, the reference for pre-design and predefined specification is Jesus. In everything we do, what we eat and what we say and what we do and what we think and how we use our time, our talents, our treasures, how we handle relationships, how and where we serve, what we wear, our hobbies, our habits, it's Christ in everything. No allowance for compartmentalization. This is about you're in or you're out, all or none, right? Jesus all in all or Jesus not at all. Finally, we come to a place where Christ is all that matters and he lives in all of us. So what are we calling each other to? We're not calling each other to work harder. We're calling each other to worship Christ more. We're not calling each other to make a list to get it right. We're calling each other to surrender so that we get it right. We're not calling each other to get our act together. We're calling each other to come and discover the activity of God within your life and let him lead you to a good place. A number of years ago, actually, when I was 23 years old, I met a friend. And a guy who I developed a relationship, it started slowly. It started in a church lobby. And he was 10 years older than I was, something like that. I was 23 and he was 33. We were just newly married. He was a business owner. He had two kids. And he was a very, very responsible man who Christ had been formed in his life. And as I began to let him into my life, and there was a mutual friendship that grew, I could tell that he was interested in me. Like he was just curious. It moved from lobby in a church to a tennis court, and we started playing tennis together in the early morning. And one morning, I don't know, he must have won that day because he was like a little aggressive. He began to he asked me a question. He said, "Dave," this was like well into our relationship. He said, "Dave, tell me about your spiritual disciplines." I'd never been asked that question before. He said, "Just tell me about your disciplines." To which point, of course, I was a little taken back, but it was a trusted, confidential relationship. And I began to hum and haw, and I began to speak while a Christian pastor, I spoke very doubly minded. I was. He began, he just left the question, he left me hanging. And he won the game and he asked me a stump question. Weeks later, he revisited that question, said, how are your spiritual disciplines? And I could tell that if I didn't kind of engage this, it was never going to go away. So he began to say, "No, I'm real serious. Tell me about your week. Tell me about when you get up. Tell me about the time you spend in the Word. Tell me about your fasting. Tell me about your prayer life. Tell me about your heart for missions. Tell me about your finances. Tell me about your intentions. And man, what a conversation. Here I was a 23-year-old full-time cool youth pastor. But being asked questions that were huge, but had never been asked. Maybe they were, but I just didn't hear them. I'd never been asked those questions. He wasn't calling me to religion. He was calling me to relationship, and he was calling me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, which says this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will come to pass. So how did they ever get him off my back? He said, Dave, I want to help you. I want to come alongside you. Okay? He said, here's I think where you should start. I want you to start, and I took the challenge. I want you to start by setting your alarm clock and put the number 633 on your alarm clock. And I want you to have as the first thought of your day, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And I did that. And the first time I hit it, and I said, no, this is going to be about Matthew 6, 48. Like, this is not good. No, it's not. It's going to go different. Like, but over time, that verse has created some spiritual disciplines that have helped with intention and spiritual formation. I'm not here to be John for you. We could go play tennis. But I am here to ask you about your spiritual disciplines on the third week of this series. Growing up doesn't happen with just good intentions. It happens through transformation, where things become new, and it happens through our participation in daily renewal through spiritual disciplines. So perhaps this week you would be wise to dig a little deeper, to perhaps stay up a little longer or get up a little earlier, and make some more room in your life for the application of Matthew 6:33. Luke said it well. We don't seek God second. We're to seek him first. I want to invite you to stand as we close this service today. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to pray in just a moment. Question I would bring to you in the third week of this series. So what does it mean for you to seek God first this week? What does it mean, or what could it mean? And then the crazy, courageous question I would ask you is, would you be willing to allow God to speak to you about him being first? Lord, I thank you for my friends in this room. We come to you today very open-hearted and very empty-handed, for we realize that you forming life and spiritual formation is only possible through surrender. So we do. We surrender today. I pray perhaps for the one in this room today who would surrender for the very first time and would accept you as personal Lord and Savior. Come into their hearts and come into their lives today. Take up that that good work that you desire to do all the days of their life. Lord, I pray with our time, our talents, and our treasures, we would put you first. Not second, but we would seek you first, knowing that as we do, good things will come to us and good things will happen through us. Thank you for grace for this conversation and grace for this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. Trust you'd have a good rest of your day. And if we don't see you during the week, trust we'll see you next Sunday. God bless you. Have a good day.